Today's episode of the Dave Portnoy Show is brought to you by BetDSI. March Madness is up next, and BetDSI will be having a $1 million bracket contest for all of our listeners. Completing a perfect bracket is close to impossible. We encourage you to try. But if you don't, they're also going to add guaranteed prizes for the best overall March Madness bracket performance. All of our listeners will get a free entry into the Madness contest. BetDSI has over 20 years in business. It's a top-rated business on sports book review sites. Great mobile product, easy to use from anywhere. Live in-game wagering. You can make plays throughout entire games and events. Even bet the Oscars live. They have great customer service available 24/7, 365, built on the reputation of fast payment of winnings. And also get a free $25 to try the service just for registering. $200 bonus on your first deposit with promo code Barstool200. Wow, so you're getting free $25 just to try the service and registering, and you're also going to get, with Barstool200 promo code, a 200% bonus on your first deposit. That's Barstool200.
All Barstool Sports will be relocating to Manhattan. We want to take it to the world, but we're trying to take this site and crank it the f*** up.
They've conquered the internet.
What an idiot.
And now Barstool takes over the SiriusXM airwaves.
There they go! What's going to happen?
Real.
The Finer Things Club, the Scumbag Club.
You are cute. Are you married?
I'm married to the game.
Unfiltered.
Stop sending the dick pics.
Controversial.
You're a bummer.
I believe we're funnier, smarter, better, prettier than everybody else who is stealing our shtick on the internet.
By the common man. For the common man. It's Barstool Radio. Here is your host, Dave Portnoy.
Okay, I'm back. I'm awake. I'm caffeinated. My jaw is... I forgot to take my jaw medicine this morning. For those who don't know, I have a dead tooth that leaks some sort of fluid into my mouth that causes my mouth to get swollen and frozen. If I don't take my meds, it blows up. I got to get a root canal emergency. I haven't been home long enough. I forgot that. I can feel it starting to blow up. That stinks. I've been kind of MIA in and out with the Houston week, but we still start this with shit we need to talk about. And this just got sprung on me like literally 5 minutes before the show started. This fucking cocksucker, Patrick Claiborne, Bond. Oh, I just pressed something. All right, his Twitter handle says, this fucking guy, at Patrick Claiborne, Patrick Claibon. He's the host of Up to the Minute, Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern on the NFL Network. This cock, he's a basketball, this is his Twitter handle. He's a basketball fan, an Alabamian, and a volume tweeter. Shut up, you jerk. Why am I going in on this fucking piece of shit? Because, I'll tell you why. He went in on me last night for no reason. So I guess this is what happened. The Oakley thing, the Charles Oakley thing, when he gets in a fight at MSG, he's thrown down. He's supposedly screaming at Dolan. He punches maybe security guards. He gets pinned down. Wild scene at MSG. Wild scene. Everyone loves Oakley. Everyone's on Oakley's side, even though it's probably his fault. He said he swears to God on his mother's grave like he didn't yell at Dolan and wasn't heckling him. I don't believe that for a second. He was definitely heckling him. Whatever. So being Barstool, what we are, we put put free Oakley shirts on sale. We also have Fire Dolan shirts. Very Barstool. Mm-hmm. This guy, this Patrick Claiborne guy from the fucking parking lot, I guess he tweets out, before you buy the free Oakley shirt, know who you're buying it from. That's what he wrote. And I didn't even know this. I didn't know he did it. And then he attaches like a tweet of mine about Trump from an article. And this is the quote that he did. And I guess Coley tells me other NFL Network guys. Wait, listen. First of all, there's NFL Network guys. Like Albert Breer is NFL Network, right? That guy's got like 700,000 followers. I'm doing podcasts with him, making content. That's an NFL Network guy. Like Ian Rappaport, who was in our video when we signed McAfee, who's famous. Not this fucking guy who nobody knows who he is. For all I know, this guy doesn't even work for NFL Network. He's doing what Chaps did when we hire him, and he's like a fake account. This guy's a nobody, a loser, has no life, and should never... What do they say, Coley? Don't put my name on your tongue or something. What is that?
Keep my name off your lips.
Yeah, keep my name off your lips, Patrick Claiborne. I'm in a whole different stratosphere than you. You're a nobody. I don't even know who you are. So don't put this quote when I'm just trying to sell T-shirts, free Oakley T-shirts, and pay people's salaries. And he puts this, just before you buy the free Oakley shirt, remember this is who you're buying it from. This is a quote I had that somebody asked me why people support Trump. Dave Portnoy, the founder of Barstool, this is what he linked to be like, aha, don't buy shirts from this guy because I said the following. Dave Portnoy, the founder of Barstool Sports, the frat-focused sports website where the smoke show of the day serves as the ultimate clickbait, that's not really true, said Trump's appeal to young men speaks to anxiety over a creeping political correctness throughout American society. By the way, I wrote this in the middle of the election. And it was an interview. Somebody asked me, why do frat bros and stuff like Trump? This is my response. There's a sentiment among frat guys, lacrosse players, and middle-class affluent white kids that they're kind of getting persecuted lately, Portnoy told CBS News. You tell a joke, it gets blown out of proportion. You got to walk on eggshells. There's kind of that feeling that Trump, he tells a joke and doesn't back down. He says things that would normally be frowned upon. At a school, kid would get expelled. Not that it's right or wrong, but he's sort of defending a lot of things they've been attacked for the last 5 years or so.
And just to be clear, from your point of view, that was you being very deep analysis. You walked away from that being like, oh, yeah, I thought that out. That
My
was nice.
Brain was firing on all cylinders when I wrote that. I've said some shit, a lot of shit, that if you attached the quote, you'd be like, this guy's the worst guy who ever lived.
Yeah.
This is like me trying to be serious, and I think I stand by everything I wrote. This Patrick Claibon guy, and then I go to – so Coley told me about it. He's like, you see Patrick Claibon? I'm like, who the fuck is that? And then I'm catching up on it 5 minutes before the show starts, so I go to his Twitter handle, and I'm fucking blocked. He blocked me. I don't even know who you are. Why are you attacking me? What is that? What, Coley, what do they say again? Don't put my name on your lips.
Keep my name off your lips. Put some respect on my name.
Put some respect on my name.
That's a Birdman quote.
Put some respect. I built this fucking company from scratch, or the hottest thing. You're a nobody. You're on the NFL Network. You have 9,000 followers, and you follow 2,000. You must be the most boring, useless piece of garbage ever to walk down the street. You don't. What do they say, Coley? What do they say about that shit?
How can you not set it forward? Right now? Keep my name off your lips. Put some respect on my name.
Keep your name off my lips. Put some respect on my name, Patrick Claibon. Do not talk about me. Who, Richard? And by the way, what kind of pussy ass bitch? Fucking. If you go at somebody, if you're going to attack somebody out of the clouds for no reason, the fact that he started this fight because KFC and Clem started selling free Oakley shirts.
We do that every night, basically.
Every night. And this guy comes parachuting out from Nobodyville, where he lives, and is like, don't just know your this guy said this about Trump, which I didn't even say anything. I'm reading the quote. It's a good quote. It makes sense. Maybe that's why he won the election. This basketball fan, this Alabamian, this volume tweeter, this nobody. Patrick Claibon, you're a nobody. Put some respect on my name or keep my name off your lips, whatever that is. Brett lost all my clothes.
I was going to say that's next segment, but Brett lost your clothes, which is a big part.
I blogged that. I just blogged it. Okay. It's not even the money thing.
It's just, like you said, it's your favorite clothes. Everybody's got a lot of clothes, but those are just the ones you always wear.
Everybody has their go-to clothes that you wear. It's like, oh, I'm going to go out, and this is what I want to wear at night. And I have guys generally have a much smaller rotation. I probably have like 5 things that's like, oh, this fits me right. I don't have the easiest body type to like buy clothes for.
How would you describe your body type?
Well, it's rapidly deteriorating. but it's like.
Aren't you like a 30-30 or something?
Right now I'm like a 32-30. So anyways, it's shirts that fit me right that aren't too long and like are kind of like just fit right. So we had the party in Houston that I wasn't. It's like it was so far in advance from when we left New York. And we had the RV. So it's like, you know, I don't have to make decisions on what I want to wear to that party and if we go out the other night. So I just threw a bunch of shit in like a garment bag, you know, the kind you don't have to like stick in a suit because I can't iron. I'm incapable of ironing. If something gets wrinkled, it's just wrinkled till it goes to dry cleaning next time. I don't iron. Ironing for me somehow, when I iron shit, it gets more wrinkled. So I'm in the RV. There's no pressure on, like, space. I put a bunch of shit in a garment bag, just put it on the RV, and boom, easy. And I had my big suitcase because we were gone for 2 weeks straight, so you needed a lot of clothes. So drove to Houston. We're coming back, and I'm flying home, and I couldn't fit the garment bag into my suitcase. So I just told Brett, like, hey, Brett, I'm putting my garment bag with the best clothes that I own, accumulated from over the years from such hot spots as Italy, Nantucket, all over the world, really. I said, hey, I'm putting the garment back on the RV, okay, and just bring it to me when you arrive because they're driving it back to New York. He's like, yeah, no problem. I saw him get back to the office yesterday. I'm like, you got the garment bag, right? He's like, yep, absolutely. Okay, cool. He said it's at his apartment. He said he had it at his apartment. I don't know if he was lying in real time when he said that. And then around 9 p.m., he called me. If Brett, office manager Brett, who I've coined the hardest working man who gets nothing done in show business, when he called me at 9, I knew something was not good. I didn't think, oh, he lost all my clothes. But he called. He sounded like somebody ran over his dog. I mean, that had to be a hard phone call to make because I had already really ripped on a new asshole a couple times in Houston.
There had to be several things that happened that he tried before that to get to the point where he's like, I have to call.
He said he was on the phone with his landlord for like an hour and a half trying to pull security footage to see what happened.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Security footage. I think he lost it, but he's like, listen, I'm really sorry. I don't know what happened. We'll get him in here in the next segment.
He's pulling it was stolen, which if you ever lose anything of someone else's, you always just say someone stole it.
Stolen.
Claybon just tweeted.
What did that cocksucker say?
Claybon says, it's a quote tweet, blocking Portnoy after dragging his name through the mud is such a soft and weak move. Grow some fucking balls. That was the tweet from the guy. Quote tweet, I've had that dude blocked since the rape joke comments and subsequent spirited defense of rape jokes. If his words are a problem.
Get out of here. This guy, Twitter wasn't invented when that joke was made. This guy's a straight liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Twitter wasn't around when the size 6 skinny jean joke was made. This guy is a lying piece of dirt bag shit. What a liar. He's blocked me since that. There's no way he knew who I was. How long have I been on Twitter? It says, doesn't it?
2009, I believe.
What? No way. Was Twitter around in 2009?
Tease it, because we got to go to break.
Ooh, little tease it.
Anyways, back to the story. So we're talking about office manager Brett losing all my clothes. So we had the party in Houston Friday night. I wanted to look good, so I brought my favorite clothes. Everybody has them, like clothes that, all right, I'm going out. I want to look my best. There's a couple things I own that I like. Everything else I probably don't. So I had like 5 shirts, a couple cardigans, believe it or not, that were just from dry cleaning in there. And they didn't fit in my suitcase. Put them on the RV. On the way home, I throw everything in my suitcase. We're gone for 2 weeks, so it was a full suitcase. I didn't have room for the garment bag. I told Brett, I'm like, just take it on the RV and bring it to me when you arrive. He said, fine. Brett, you showed up at the office yesterday. I'm like, you got the garment bag, right? You're like, yep, I do. I don't know if you were lying at that point. You already knew that it was in trouble.
I was a noodle yesterday, Dave. So when I got to the office, I figured if I hadn't brought it here, I figured I had just had it at my house. That's when I got back to my house and looked all around, and there was nothing there.
So then you call me about 9 p.m. Sound like your dog got run over.
I was not thrilled.
No, I could imagine that was not a great phone call to be placing, and you're like, you're saying it was stolen, and you're trying to, I don't know where you were getting the video cameras from, like the sky or something.
Well, it was because what happened was the Uber driver I was with, I had so much shit in my car in the Uber that we were just bringing it all, trying to get it into my apartment. So he was helping me. So what he must have done was put your, like, he must have taken your garment bag out and put it somewhere. And just, we didn't make the transition to getting stuff from wherever he put it into my apartment.
Do you think there's a chance it's still on the RV?
No, I was definitely in the Uber because I remember taking it off myself and like having your stuff and Hank's stuff like on my left arm, bringing it to the Uber. So
it sounds like the Uber guy stole it.
I think it was just lost. It really sounds like a lost as opposed to stolen situation. And then, you sound like an insurance agent. You're like, think about how much all the money and value and everything in, and I'll write a check, and I don't care about the money side of it. It's more I just can't replace. It's irreplaceable. I've lost my – I have nothing to wear. I'm shirtless, so I don't know – I was even mad. Like, I got mad. I was really mad at you at the tailgate. I thought, like, I was way madder. So the tailgate, we tailgated for the Pats game. We had the RV, and Brett had, like, the SUV full of the beer, the food, everything for the RV. For the tailgate. The RV had nothing. So we drove the RV to the parking lot, to the tailgate, and Brett was like, all right, I'll follow you. And then you just didn't. You were like, you just didn't come.
What happened was we were at the Totino's house, pretty much halfway ready to go, and we were waiting on Fights and Alyssa and all
Fights, by the way, I talked to him. He's like, I had no idea people were waiting for me. No one ever said wait for me.
Then I don't know what the issue was there. But yeah. We just headed over. Once we figured, well, we'll get everybody rounded up. We'll head over. And that was that. The biggest mistake of that morning was letting Glennie Balls go grocery shopping for the tailgate, because he bought like 7 hamburgers for everybody. And so then I got there. Dave's like, we still don't have anything. And I was like, that's absolutely fair. So I went out, did a Target run, got a ton of beer, ton of hot dogs, ton of hamburgers, and found out that Glennie didn't buy cheese for the hamburgers. That was a tough realization to come to.
We had no cheese. The burgers he bought were frozen. We had.
I bought the regular burgers.
We had very, very little beer. We had no ice. We had no cooler. The tailgate was.
You would think Glennie would be good in a grocery store.
That's what I was going to say. Well, I feel like that's where
here's
he's
the issue.
Sell.
If you got like a young 20-year-old that's never gone away to like college or anything like that, in order to properly prepare for a tailgate, you need to have done it many times. Yes. And know your shit, because you always need way more shit than you think.
We had
a lot of stuff.
No propane
remember.
For the grill. We were lacking almost everything that was needed for a tailgate.
Yeah.
And this frustrated me to a degree, because I spent most of the prior day being like, Brett, you got all the stuff for the tailgate. Yep. Yep. We're good. We're good. And then we showed up. Not only did we not have stuff, like, we waited for Brett, and then when he showed up, we still didn't have stuff. So I was mad, and then follow that up with, like, my clothes being lost. It wasn't the best.
I was thinking about how to answer the clothes thing all morning, because I knew it was coming. So I was thinking, like, maybe I just go to Italy or Napa or Nantucket and make a little thing out of it.
Put it on Dave's credit card?
No, no.
Perfect.
No.
So you want to do a company expense video trip to Italy?
Brett trying to be a content guy again.
Nope. I'm just saying.
He wants to go on every vacation Dave has gone on.
I'll go to the spots that Dave's gone to.
Shopping and for clothes, not to be like soft, speaking of that, Patrick Claibon, nice. Like buying clothes is the worst. Like, I fucking hate it. Mm-hmm. But like when you find the one, it's like, oh, this is, like, I'll wear the same fucking shit 24/7. Like that, I have the, if you're like, Dave's going to an event where he thinks he has to look good, if you know me at all, you know one of like two things I'm wearing. Basically.
No, I totally agree. I would say for the last like 8 years, I've worn two shirts out on Saturday night. Yeah. Those are like my shirts that I look good in, that I got laid one time. So I'm like, that's my shirt. Yeah. And if I lose those, I don't even know where to start.
No, that's it. Yeah. So I'm crippled. It's like, it's not the volume. It's not the money. It's everything I like is gone.
I have a question about one of your shirts.
The tie one.
Are you're that was really not a skinny tie?
No.
That's like
if you go look at the blog right now.
No, I read it. That's when I was stunned when you said that.
No, it's built into the shirt.
I like zoomed in on the shirt. Yeah. It was trying to find imperfections.
I had so many people be like, oh, you're wearing a skinny tie? And I'd be like, no, that's part of the shirt. And they'd be like flabbergasted. I'd be like, that's the best shirt I've ever seen. That's dust in the wind. That shirt's gone.
I think we go craft on this. We look online. Who's selling your shirts?
Yeah. I was going to say, you're going to like run into some dude wearing that shirt and be like, that's my fucking shirt.
It's got even Kevin Clancy, who fucking hates me, saw that shirt in the Totino's house. He's like, that's an awesome shirt. He said it. He's like, that shirt's fucking awesome. Where'd you get it? It's like, I don't tell anybody. It's my go-to shirt. I don't want anyone else ever to have it. Office manager Brett, less than 48 hours, someone else has it. Hit him. That's why I'm here, okay. Trent. Right. I pissed blood. I already took a personal day, which was not a fun personal day.
If, like, let me ask you this. If you, like, die because of the kidney piss blood out of your dick thing, are all those considered days off afterwards?
No. I go down.
Cause,
as yeah. a legend of the game.
Okay.
This company, you put a picture of me with blood leaking out of my dick on the wall, all right?
And
you
on a shirt.
And you hang it there.
I sell a lot of shirts.
And every day that everybody walks through this office being like, do I have it in me to blog today? Yeah, like Notre Dame, like play
you
like
slap your dick,
like play like play like a champion today. That sign, yeah. You hit that sign of blood leaking out of my dick, and you bring it that day.
It'd be like communion. You could like drink some blood when you walk in.
You oh bring God. It that day. Oh, this is my dad. This is gonna be not a good call. With all the see what he got, Dad. What do you got?
Yeah, you're right. It's not gonna be a good call. One thing I'll talk about, which won't bother you. The famous case Tiger Woods had, which he lost, he sued this artist who was doing a rendering, I believe it was a rendering of Tiger Woods, Arnold Palmer, and Jack Nicklaus, all in one lithograph, I think they called it. Anyway, so he sued. The guy's name was Rick Rush, I think. He was the defendant. He won that case. That's a famous case back in 1998. Which Tiger Woods lost. And that's a famous case about similar to, I would think, similar to the thing with Goodell's nose and whatnot. So that's the, you know, a well-known case. That takes care of that. You still there?
Yeah, I'm there. I mean, that was kind of boring.
Yeah. The other thing.
And you've told me like, about that case, by the way, multiple times.
But you didn't mention it when we were talking about it. I thought I'd refresh your recollection. Anyway, it really makes me... You know, it's like black comedy. Do I have to come in there and hold your hand to get you to go to a freaking doctor?
I said I'm going tomorrow.
Do you have an appointment? This is something that we should be talking about alone. Do you have an appointment for tomorrow, or you just thought you might go see some doctor?
I have to find a doctor. I have my doctor. I don't know if that's who I'd see for this, but I'm going to, once this is done, I have another thing I got to do. I'm doing something with the Howard Stern show right after this, not him, the after show, which I got to go to, and then I'm going to start making some phone calls. Frankie, is my dad back on hold? It looks like someone says Mike Portnoy. Is this him? Hello?
Hello?
Who is this?
This is your mother.
So it's someone faking to be my mother.
No, it's me. My first time caller.
Oh, it is you, Mom?
Oh, I can't believe you can't
tell.
Wait,
Mom, is this you?
It is, Dave. It is. Ask me a question and I can prove it.
No, I can tell now. Your voice sounded a little bit different. It is, Mom.
This is your mom?
I've got a little cold.
Oh, that's what it is.
This is Ms. Portnoy?
Yeah, it's my mom.
What an honor.
Wow.
Well, thank you. Like I said, first-time caller. David is the salt of my earth.
Oh, very sweet, Mom.
Wow.
I'm actually calling, though, to give Hank some kudos. Is he there?
No, he is not.
Oh, and I've been waiting because you haven't been there. So I heard him talk about his superstitious actions, and I just had a call in. I was watching the game after the third quarter. I hadn't been feeling well, so I said to Dad, I said, I got to go up. I threw in the towel. I gave up. And then shortly after, he came knocking on my door and said, you know, you got to put the TV on. Things are happening. And I went to do it and thought about it for about a half a millisecond. And I said, no way. They started to turn it around when I went upstairs. I shut off everything. All I did was hear Dad clapping. And every time he clapped, I knew something good was happening. And so when they won the game, he came running up. I put it on and watched it Monday. Even though I knew how it ended, I still couldn't believe it. So superstitious works.
Yeah, Hank walked in here.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hank, I'm with you.
Thank you, Mrs. Portnoy.
I think we personally had them win because we did what we needed to do.
Yeah,
so I'm with you.
We definitely played a factor. I'm happy you were on my side.
Yes, we did. I feel that way, and I just wanted to share that.
Mom, did you bet on the game?
I did.
So you covered, too?
I did. I mean, obviously, I'm $15 richer. But I had even forgotten I'd done that because it was just so surreal. It was crazy.
Win, win, win. It's even better watching it back the second time.
Well, I'm telling you, I knew they won. I watched the fourth quarter. I still couldn't believe it. It was the craziest thing, and it was really exciting. But it's funny how you feel that way. As soon as they started to turn it around, I said, I'm just going away from it all. So I do believe that.
All right, Mom. Well, thanks for the phone call. First time caller, long time listener, and hopefully you feel better. It sounds like you still do
Thank
have
you.
A cold.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye, Ma.
Bye-bye.
I don't know. It's Barstool Radio. It's me, KFC, and Caleb, and Coley.
It's like a little like KFC Radio mixtape, Barstool Radio hybrid.
And Young and Happy.
Young and Happy.
Young and Happy.
Or,
but you're always
Or
you're
it could
always
just drinking. Be like a new thing.
Yeah, it could just be a whole new show. Who knows?
It's a mishmash because Roan's gone, so it's like fill-in city here.
I like
for
this, though.
3 months. Just you never know who you're going to get.
No, I like this pairing.
The squad. People.
Yeah, so KFC is more of the host. And I guess, like, I'll just be more of the, like...
So last time when I hosted while you were out, I told Frankie to cut all those. Every single comeback from commercial had, here's your host, Dave Portnoy. So we're like, Frank, cut it. Just fade in the music. So that's what we're going to do today.
Do you let Frankie talk over the show?
He's in my ear because I can multitask and you can't.
No, it's not. I was on the Stern after show yesterday and they asked me, like, what do you think makes Howard Stern successful? I'm like, he's authentic and he did things his own way. He didn't listen. And Baba Booey, that's the guy I was on with. He's like, yeah, that's right. Because you have all these radio consultants come in and be like, you have to do it this way. You have to do it that way. And Howard was like, but I don't do it that way. So you have a book of every radio host in the country being like, you can't have your producer yell tease, tease, tease or break, break, break. But the one guy who lets him do it's like, fuck you.
Time.
Fuck you. I'm going to do it my way because nobody's heard it. That's how you break out of the box. So I thought, listen, Stern's like, he didn't say it was brilliant to let Frankie be like, tease, 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 yell. But he kind of said it without saying it. So anyways, that was my takeaway from Stern.
I don't dislike the tease, tease, tease thing because it's so ridiculous. It's like your own little thing.
Right. Exactly.
I just don't do it.
Mike, I think he's going to bring something up that has slid under the radar. Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, so with you guys down in Houston, I figured this kind of slipped past on a Friday news dump. I just wanted to get you guys' take from KFC and El Prez on Francis seemingly lying about cancer, using it for content. It doesn't really matter to me, but I figured you should at least get a Hank sit-down interrogation.
Yeah. We were going to do it on the rundown. It's just we never really got to it, and it kept getting pushed by better topics. But it was highly talked about on the bus.
Yeah, well, so he faked cancer. I mean, that's
100%
not even a debate. I guess, do we want to get him in here?
Yeah.
Might as well
grab him.
Yeah, Frankie.
Frankie, go get him. So, I mean, I don't know.
He's also not prepared to admit that he did that.
Okay, good. Because then I have a lot of facts on why it's clearly fake.
Oh, boy.
Like what? You just want to present
well,
them to him?
I mean, for starters, like, I don't think somebody, a doctor, would be willing to go on speakerphone and be like, oh, we switched your lab results. I don't think they'd be like, hey, I'm going to put you on speakerphone, so say that out loud so everyone can hear you. Be like, we told somebody who didn't have cancer that they have cancer.
More importantly, the other way around. The woman who now has cancer, if there's not a malpractice lawsuit going on right now, this is a fake story.
Right, right.
Because if you told me I didn't have cancer, and I was like, awesome, and then found out 3 weeks later I did, I wouldn't sue if I was Francis. I would sue if I was that other person.
And then you find out that other person that they're like talking about it like, on the radio and like stuff like that. So here he is.
No, but think about it. He could actually sue for a lot more.
Why? He's
for
fine.
Psychological damage.
Emotional damages. Yeah.
You told me I had cancer and I don't?
Yeah, and then they're
going to. People sue for way less.
Yeah, but no, but then they're going to be like, he made a song about it and he did all this stuff, so he wasn't psychologically.
Ginger's now in the building. So are you ready to admit that you 100% faked cancer?
We're going to tease all of this.
Okay, we're going to tease all of it because we got a break.
Can I just say before we tease, so he knows where I'm coming from, I know he faked cancer.
You would be foolish right now to argue otherwise because you're not going to convince anybody in this room. But when we come back from the break,
I ain't mad at it either. I said I'm fine with it. I love the move.
Ginger is in the building to address the fact that he did fake cancer.
And let me tell you where I'm at, Ginger. So we're on the road, and then we find out you did a Friday news dump. Well played, much like how the Bruins fired Claude Julien like in the middle of the Pats parade. Like, tried to bury it on a Friday.
On a Friday when anyone in the office that would be skeptical is gone.
Right. And who would pose questions like, I guess, here's my thing. You called somebody over, if I'm understanding, and like say it again on speakerphone, right, to the doctor. It was a doctor who said that?
It was his assistant.
So they put that on speakerphone, and what did they say on speakerphone?
She said that, first of all, she had called me.
And should we back up and say the background of the story of what's going on here? So we did a Barstool Idol where we brought in a bunch of people to try to find talent for Barstool with one winner. And Francis won this competition. And what led to the victory, what was the turning point, is when you were diagnosed with cancer and then made content like funny, like on Subway, singing like cancer songs. And
hold me close, now I've got cancer.
You can, yeah, you can talk.
So yeah, I learned to own it because you told me that you wanted to fire me when you found this out because you didn't want me. You knew you couldn't hold back from making fun of me.
Big Cat said he pulled you aside. He's like, you got to find out what makes you different. Like, you got to stand out. And he could see the light bulb go off in your head, like,
bing,
boom,
cancer.
If you guys think for one second that I didn't deserve to be hired here unless I revealed that I got cancer, then I don't know what to tell you.
No, it's not that, but that was your springboard. Cancer, like that song was very funny. All of your content became cancer content, which was funny, and you won fair and square. Now, I look at it like this guy differentiated himself, clear winner, use the cancer card. All right, 2 weeks go by, we go to Houston. You can't, at some point, when you're healthy as an ox, people are going to be like, this cancer guy's really hanging in pretty fucking good. So at some point, it has to be like, whoops, I actually don't have cancer. I'm in now. And then
the red flags really start. Because my thing is, too, one, if I got a phone call saying I don't have cancer when I thought I had cancer, my first thought is not, let me go tell Riggs and put it on speakerphone. I'm fucking jumping through the roof because I'm happy I'm not going to die. Two, when you do this speakerphone thing, no person in the medical profession would say it and admit to it over the phone where malpractice can be through the roof.
She didn't know that she was on speakerphone.
Even just saying they'll like repeat it again and
so,
even
so
them just
she
saying
called
it on the phone
me.
In general.
She called me. Do you want to tell you a story?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Has she called? Does she know you put on like it? There's something called HIPAA, which I think
you broke
all the laws.
You have the right to release your own medical records for whether it's investigative purposes or lawsuits, whatever.
Sounds like someone who's investigated things for
your own
story.
Health documents are your property.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, it was Friday afternoon. I was playing cornhole with Spags.
You seem to be in a good mood for somebody with cancer.
I had not allowed myself to believe that I was actually going to
seem
have
like
cancer.
An easy thing to believe.
Well, I didn't have a choice. I was in the middle of Barstool Idol. You know, you guys were basically hazing us for a week, and I was terrified. But I don't know. The rest of my family took it much worse than I did.
They weren't happy with a cancer diagnosis.
It wasn't a cancer diagnosis. It was they'd found a malignant tumor in my throat, and it had cancerous cells, and they were taking it for further testing to determine if it had metastasized, in other words, spread. And that is exactly what I told Kevin on the radio. I never said, I have cancer.
I said, are you going to tell me you have cancer? And you said yes.
No, and then I explained. I said, I was telling you.
But you can understand why the perception here is
sure,
that you're just saying
fine. I'll own that. I definitely was probably a little more vague about the.
We're getting down to semantics here about the diagnosis.
The details.
The fake diagnosis.
So then during that time, we sent it to a doctor in Florida and a doctor in California and a conference of specialists on ear, nose, throat oncology. To determine why what they had thought was just a polyp, which is what I had removed. Singers get removed all the time.
But you don't sing, right?
I do. You haven't heard me. That was
the song
exactly what
song.
We were just talking
but like,
about.
Consistently enough to get like polyps?
No, it was more stand-up comedy. Like I was hoarse all the
Story's
time.
Story's changing. Story is changing.
So we sent it out, and what happened was on that day, Friday, we got a call from my doctor's office, his medical assistant, her name is Danny, and she called me and started explaining it, and I immediately knew how you guys were going to spin this.
See, I think that's a weird reaction. That's your first thought when you're finding out that like you're all good in the clear?
I mean, I started crying,
But you're also an actor.
Oh, and well, I appreciate the credit that if you think I could literally go to that length.
I mean, you are an actor. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If we, and answer this honestly, if we rewind the clock and somebody says, hey, Francis, you can get a job here at Barstool, But the only way you're going to be able to do it is you're going to have to fake cancer and make it your shtick for a week. Would you do that?
Absolutely not.
I don't buy that. That's a dumb answer. Wrong answer.
You're fired.
Wrong answer. I mean,
frog is wrong.
That's how I feel. It's
wrong
true.
Answer.
You did it. And now even if you're like, yes, I would maybe believe you. Like, I would do that, I think. If my dream job is sitting. That was also, we had controversy on that, which made me think that you maybe bend the truth. Somebody told me, it's like, you came in here, I don't know how it would be possible, but you weren't really like a huge Barstool fan. But then when you and I talked, you're like, this is my dream job. I'm so happy to be here.
Who said that?
I don't recall.
I can name blogs from a decade ago.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, he is a big fan, but somebody, maybe Big Cat.
I remember having the discussion. I don't know if I heard it directly, but I remember the vibe that you were not like a true diehard stoolie. You were just kind of here, like, you're an actor, you're looking for gigs, this is a new company, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know how to answer that. I mean, we'll see if I work hard over the next 6 months.
No, you know? That's irrelevant. That's just, I know you're a Barstool fan based on what you said, and I think you were clearly the winner of that contest, and you deserve to be here, and you're making good content, and you fake cancer. Those are just all things that we have.
Now, I heard you play it before. Do you want to play the voicemail?
Yeah, sure. I mean, let's
hear this voice.
This is another
by
weird
the fact
thing.
We're still playing this lady's voicemail. It was like,
this is
even weirder.
This is from.
This is even more red.
When I went for the checkup with my ear, nose, throat doctor who had performed the surgery on my throat, and he gave me the results of the pathology report, the test results from when they had looked at the specimen, what they thought was the polyp. And this is him. He had told me. And then we called my mom to explain it. This was way before you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get Hank because Hank's one of the biggest truthers on this situation.
And this is him explaining
just so
to my mom.
Much recordings going on for such sensitive.
I
materials.
Had my mom send me this voicemail as soon as you guys started calling me a liar.
But who leaves their mom a voicemail saying I have cancer?
No,
nobody would do that.
This is the doctor speaking to my mom.
You don't
mom.
Leave that on voicemail. If I left
we
the
called her and she
mom,
didn't pick up.
You wait until you're going to talk to her.
There's clearly no point in playing the voicemail.
No, I'd like to hear the voicemail, and I'd also like to say, true or false, did you fake cancer?
Play the voicemail and answer the question.
I understand at this point that there is an answer you guys want to hear.
We'll get there.
And I just can't give it to you because that's not true.
There's a theory going around. I try to pull Hank, but he's not here. But Hank was talking about the way that you introduced the concept of you having cancer was very strategic. He said that you went to the real small people and kind of whispered in some ears.
No.
It kind of planted it so it would spread around and made it look like you didn't tell anybody. Then we just found out naturally and organically rather than being suspicious and be like, yo, I got cancer.
No, the first person I spoke to was Erica Nardini.
That is
CEO
also a red flag
company.
Because as I understand it, you were like, I have some bad news. I don't want to make it public and content. And then you walked right out there and you told me you had cancer.
No, I didn't come straight from her office. The guy that had been helping me with the film stuff, he was the only one that knew I had left the office that day to go for the checkup with my doctor, which is when I got the news. And then I came back and he said, how did it go? And I was pretty, you know, out
cancer.
Of it.
I have cancer. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not going to make it content. I will go to the subway and start singing cancer songs.
No, that didn't happen that day. That happened
but
2 days
happened
later.
Pretty close after. Let's hear this voicemail.
All right.
Dr. Pete Wu's office again. He called me in for a checkup because it turned out they had received the pathology report, which was a little troubling. He's right here, so I'm going to pass the phone to him just to let you know kind of what's going on. Here he is.
Hi, Ms. Ellis. So, you know, the pathology, we expected to see Apollo. But they came back and they showed that there might be some sort of a malignancy on the pathology. So we're having the slides reviewed by another pathologist, and that's where we are. From a healing point of view, he looks great. And clinically, that is, when I look at him, it looks well healed, like it should be, without any.
So he goes on to just more doctor talk here.
But if it,
my thing is. If I left my mom that voicemail, she's going to kill me before the cancer can. That's a weird move. And then again, to have all these things recorded and all this like weird doctor talk on voicemail. It's being sent around and played for people. It just seems like suspicious.
And also, he's
and
from
he's
Harvard.
A, and
he
he's
knows
an
people
actor.
Who can talk like this.
And he's
an
got
actor.
Actor friends who can he's just call actor. Him and be like, it's
that
Dr. Mantis Toboggan.
That doctor smelled like an actor to me.
So did the report that you posted that was just like typed up in Courier, like, yes, I have cancer. And it was
Frankie
like,
Borelli, I believe, says that report. Are you the one saying that report is just a form, Frankie?
Yeah, no? you can Google that right now. Listen, man, bottom line.
Maybe it was Hank.
Bottom line, you faked cancer. And that's okay.
It's Monday, Barstool Radio. We're back. It is myself, Caleb Riggs from Harvard, Coley in the booth. Welcome, everybody. It's Monday. I was going to start the show. I'm going to get to it in this provincial. I'm going to get to it, Beyonce, because I fucking hate her ass. And I just fucking hate her. And the Grammys, that's what everyone's talking about. I see people, all the PC crowd and people who have no balls are being like, oh, Beyonce killed. Beyonce was the fucking worst. And if you don't think she was the worst, then you should look yourself in the mirror and grow a set of balls and tell the truth, because she was the fucking worst.
I don't think she's the worst.
Okay, we're going to get into that in a second. Beyonce, and I've been on this train, the I hate Beyonce train, for a while. So I will admit, maybe I see it with rose-colored glasses or hate-colored glasses, and I always have this rivalry of Beyonce versus Rihanna, which I love Rihanna. And Rihanna was awesome last night. She was drinking from that, like, diamond-studded flask, and every single time, like, you knew she wasn't going to beat Beyonce, because Beyonce has fucking her people, the Illuminati. I don't even know what that is. But she's going to win every award that she can win versus Rihanna.
And Rihanna knew that, too. Rihanna
right.
was, like, looking at her friends.
Putting on her lipstick, yeah, like, doing right. shots, being like, fuck this bitch. Yep. And I love how Rihanna fucked Jay-Z, allegedly. But that's a fact, allegedly. So I love that, and I know it bothers Beyonce. Beyonce's performances now, she doesn't sing. She went up there, and the show ran late, by the way, because of Beyonce. Because Beyonce, they don't let people have 5 seconds to do a speech. Like Adele's guy who wrote the song got cut off. She did a 2-second speech because Beyonce spends 30 minutes. In the first 25 minutes of that performance, it was like you were getting a massage. They were playing massage music, and she was just sitting there rubbing her pregnant belly, doing nothing. Nothing. And then she just talks. And lectures. Like, I'm a woman. I gave birth. I'm a woman with massage music. Do we have a clip of that? You have it, right, Frankie?
Do you remember being born?
What the fuck does that mean? No, nobody remembers
sure
being born.
Thankful by the hips that cracked.
What does this mean?
The deep velvet of your mother and her mother and her mother.
What is this?
This is so weird.
This is taking valuable time away from other people.
But you got to understand that.
You think that's garbage.
There's visuals going with this. Crazy visuals. Crazy cool
this is,
visuals.
This is, to quote Simon Cowell of fucking American Idol, this is a singing show. This is a singing show. I want performances.
I don't know.
No, I don't want to go fucking see Abstract. Do you remember? She's still going here. This clip is still fucking going, Caleb.
Yeah. But I don't understand. Like,
what
we're
is
doing
this?
A radio show right now, but this is accompanied by
talking.
Crazy, crazy, wild, awesome visuals.
Of her just being fucking pregnant?
I mean, she's pregnant.
No
that's
shit.
A fact. She's pregnant.
No
but, like,
shit.
I don't
Everyone.
Think if the visuals are of her being pregnant. Yeah, she's in the clip, so therefore she's pregnant.
Dude, a homeless person who's never seen a TV, has no access to any media, who lives in a sewer underneath the rats, knows that Beyonce is pregnant. Because Beyonce...
She's one of the biggest superstars in the world.
Because
she's
she
pregnant.
Won't shut the fuck up about it.
She did
it.
One Instagram post, and now she's pregnant. What do you want to do? Walk
one
around looking
Instagram
skinny with a...
pregnant.
She did one Instagram post
just
about
fucking
being pregnant.
Sing the song, dude. Play,
what is her
play
song
Destiny's
about,
Child.
What does it have to... Play Destiny's Child. This is her new music. These new... These
this is not music, Caleb.
These songs... She sang two songs last night. That's why it went 9 minutes. There's two songs. There's a bridge in between.
Is this a song that we're listening to right now? It's still going.
Okay. She put out a music video this morning.
I need someone being like, what kind of oil do you want right now with your massage? Do you want like
I think that's the vibe she's going for. I think she would like agree with you. I think that's kind of what she was intending for it to be.
You thought that was good last night.
I think she did a good job. I think she did a good job, and I think that's what people go to for the Grammys. You people
for
say
this?
It's too outlandish. It takes too long. First of all, it went 9 minutes exactly. I guarantee you they're like, you have 9 minutes, and it was perfectly planned. You think that she just out there freelancing?
No, she does whatever the fuck she wants. She says, you're giving me 100 minutes. And the Grammy people are like, they just cower into a puddle.
Yep.
Because she kills ratings. People love Beyonce. They love Beyonce.
She kills her. They love to hate her. She's the worst. But they like her no matter what she does. Like,
I agree with you that.
Garbage.
I agree with you that people, I think, two things.
It's still going. Are we on a, this is how fucked up
Frankie,
I am.
Okay, no, Frankie doesn't like,
Frankie
is,
no.
There's two camps.
Just running.
This is just running. This is live.
That's
this
not
is
true.
How it
I watched it twice this morning so I can make sure that I wasn't messing up when I was talking about it.
No, Frankie's, this is the worst.
No, listen, there's two types of people. There's the beehive, which is like, or Bayhive, whatever they call it, who will blindly support her no matter what she does. And then there's Frankie's in the world who will blindly support whatever you say.
No.
Yeah.
Frankie,
and so you
Frankie's
say you don't like Beyonce, and all of a sudden, all my Twitter timeline doesn't like Beyonce.
This is garbage. She's finally singing. It took, how long did that take for her to fucking start singing?
I think she went 30 seconds.
Bullshit.
I watched this one. I think
there is
30
no
seconds.
That was like 4 minutes, I feel like.
That was close
to 3.5 minutes.
3.5 minutes
with no and it was all visuals. Were there any visuals involved, Frankie? Was it just her staying
like
there with
asshole.
Her pregnant
yeah,
belly?
Yeah, her talking like an asshole. I tweet this out. Does Beyonce think she's the first woman in the history of mankind to ever get pregnant and have a child? She is acting like she didn't already have a child, which would lead credence to she faked a surrogate. Because you already had a kid. Why is this all of a sudden round two? Every time you have a kid, are we going to have to go through this shit?
I don't know so much. I mean, I haven't heard the conspiracy theory. I'd be interested to hear it. But to say, a lot of people on Twitter last night and just in general were saying that she was making everything about Beyonce. She's so proud and arrogant about being pregnant. Yo, she's pregnant. What do you want her to do? You want her to talk about being single and going to the club? Or do you want her to talk about being pregnant? That's what she's pregnant.
How about you just fucking sing?
She did. And her song's about motherhood.
Her song is
about motherhood.
Sing single ladies.
Oh, Dave.
Like, listen, I like Beyonce. Give me
that
old.
That seems untrue.
No, old Beyonce.
She's great.
Old Beyonce jams. Though that shit was good, man.
She has new ones too, but these last night were slow songs. One of them is about.
When's the last time? It sucked.
One of the songs is about getting back with Jay-Z and healing from him cheating on her. Another song is about motherhood. Well, how do you want her? Do you want to get up there and just like start jigging?
You don't have to perform. You don't have to. If you're gonna put me to sleep. You're going to be that fucking arrogant and self-absorbed and in your face and boring and massage music and all that shit, then just sit this one out. How about that? Sit this one out. Sit it out.
I mean, you obviously didn't like it. I just think there's
nobody,
a lot of people who loved it.
Yeah.
A lot of people who loved it.
Yeah, but those are the Beehive people who go in. And Adele, by the way, I'm starting to hate her. I said I liked her. That speech when she won, and it's like her whole speech was sucking fucking Beyonce's clit. It was like, oh...
White guilt.
It was. Oh, you've taught my friends how to be black. Like, what are you talking about, Adele? Who are you referring to?
She said, "All my black friends like you."
Yeah, she said. She said that.
Probably true.
Honestly, the only person also to show you how great Adele is, or how another tier of performer she is, only Adele says, "All my black friends like you," and no one makes a peep about it on the internet.
There were a few peeps, but they.
They get neutralized.
Speaking of that, we're all white. We got to hire some black people. We got one, Trill Withers.
He should be here. He could be out there right now, for all I know.
We are extremely white.
We're very white. We're very white. We're like Seinfeld.
Tonight, winning this kind of feels full circle, and like a bit of me has come back to myself, but I can't possibly.
So we're back, right, Hank?
And I'm very humbled, and I'm very grateful and gracious, but
we're live.
This is Adele.
This is Adele after she won Album of the Year. And she's about to suck fucking Beyonce's clit.
And so beautiful and soul-bearing, and we all got to see another side to you that you don't always let us see, and we appreciate that, and all us artists here adore you. You are.
We don't all adore you. It's so calculated. She didn't let you in. She's sucking you in.
The way you make my black friends feel is empowering, and you make them stand up for themselves, and I love you. I always
What does that mean?
I always will. Grammys, I appreciate
Are black people, where's our black guy? Where's Trill? I thought, Coley, where's your boy? I could ask him right now if Beyonce makes black people stand up for themselves. I have no idea.
I think across the board, it's pretty much accepted that Beyonce empowers black women to some extent.
For what? Since the last year? Since she started this out of the blue?
I mean, I think she's just like a powerful black woman who's
she
kind of done what she wanted to do, and I think she's a good role model. Is that a far stretch?
I don't know if she's a good role model.
I mean, she's taken something she wants to do. She's taken it to the next level. She's become
super rich.
She's a mother.
There's a lot of super rich black people.
There's not as many as there are white people.
Yeah, but fine. I'll find somebody else. I mean,
okay, she's
the guy who owns BET. There's a fucking role model.
Oprah, she's rich as fuck.
Oprah, there's a fucking role model.
You guys are being a little ridiculous.
Michael
right
Jordan.
Now. Listen, I know you're trying to be funny. Yeah. I know you're trying to be funny, but like,
I'm not trying to be funny. I hate Beyonce.
So you're saying that she's not you don't think
I wouldn't
black
want my kids
girls
to grow.
Can be empowered.
I don't want to grow up to be Beyonce, a self-absorbed douchebag.
Dave,
I don't.
I feel like most people feel Beyonce is pretty empowering.
I feel like
empowering to who?
To black
people,
girls.
Not white dudes.
And regular girls. I know a lot of girls who like Beyonce and feel empowered by her. Do I feel empowered by Beyonce? No. Can I trust somebody if they say I feel empowered by Beyonce? Yes. Yeah. If you say that, I'm going to take your word for it. I don't think you're lying that you're empowered by that. That would be a weird lie. That would be a really weird lie.
Somebody said black people are going to start hating me. I don't know why. I love black people. I love white people. I love all people. I don't like Beyonce. That doesn't mean anything. I just fucking don't like Beyonce. Chris, what do you got?
I'm just afraid that you're going to get, like, the black community against you. And I'm wondering, my main question is, are you afraid of getting too big and hating on a certain... Because Beyonce is queen to these people, so...
I fucking hate her. What? I don't care what... Well, it's not my problem. If black people don't like me because I hate Beyonce, I'm sure there's lots of black people who don't like Beyonce. We just don't have any work here to verify that. I hate to do pre-grades, but I'm an A today. If I could bring this type of energy every day, this would be
a hit
show.
Grammys fires you up, I feel like. Beyonce fires you
fired
up.
I got a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Only one club day last weekend.
How was the doctor's on Friday?
Freaking hanky.
Oh, yeah. So I went to the doctor. I'm hesitant to say this because my parents will probably call.
Oh, boy.
But so I was convinced it was
penicillin.
The doctor does not seem to think it's
by
penicillin.
By the way, for anyone listening, last week Dave was peeing blood, and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, so I went to the urologist. So I had to pee. Oh, side note. Speaking of that, I had to fill out paperwork, and they're like, "How is your pee strength, 1 to 10?"
Like, what's a 10?
Well, that
comes out fire, yeah. Fire hose.
Honestly, I had no idea, so I said 2 because I'm a humble guy. It's like I don't know how you rank pee pressure strength. So
no, you can't tell. Like when you go piss at like. Basketball or Patriots game or something, you can't tell. Like, base the guys next to you, you can't, like, hear their streams.
You watch. You
no,
watch
you can, like, kind of, like.
You're a big watcher.
No, you can, like,
streams.
Hear
you like
people's,
other
stream.
People's streams. I understand.
You can, like, hear and you can relate your stream. Like, I got a strong ass stream. So, I know that.
So I had no, I said 2. And then
that's
he's like,
good.
And then he's like, well, but he's like, why? I'm like, because I don't know what the scale is.
They definitely should have had, like, 10 is.
It's like ricochets off the back of the urinal.
Yeah,
gets,
yeah,
like when you
right.
take a piss, you take a shower on your
right,
like,
exactly.
on your splash
golden
back.
Shower piss.
Yeah. So they had a contraption where it measures it, and he came back. He goes, "Man, you got some of the strongest piss stream I've ever seen. You sold yourself short."
Wow.
He's like, "If 5's average, you're like an 8 strength, very healthy piss stream. So that's good."
Nice, man.
But the blood thing, they don't think it's penicillin. He gave me some reasons, so I took a test, and he's going to let me know in 2 or 3 days. He doesn't think it's anything big, but he told me about some test that sounded – I almost passed out listening to, like, the test. It's like they stick a tube in your, like,
man.
Dick, and then it's just chaos from there. It's like 5 to 10 minutes.
Can you get anesthesia for it?
No, I know. No, so I don't know. He's like, he's the only way you can be 100% sure, but he's like, I don't think it's anything. We'll let you know in 3 days. I still think it's the penicillin, but he said the way the piss comes – I don't want to go into this. This is bad radio. I got to take it down.
Also, just talking about your health every single day on the radio show is exactly the same thing as Beyonce being pregnant.
I didn't even bring this shit up, man.
Yeah, I brought it up. That's fair.
Can we talk real quick? There's one thing. I got to give a shout out to our guy, Chaps. So Chaps, Uncle Chaps, Barstool writer, employee, former Purple Heart, well, winner of the Purple Heart, military guy.
Winner.
I don't know if it's winner is the proper term. Like, you know.
Got shot.
He won himself
you win.
A Purple Heart.
I guess winner is not. Recipient.
Earner.
Recipient
yeah.
of the Purple Heart.
Yeah.
Based out of San Antonio. So he's on Twitter last night. And what did he tweet? He tweeted something about, he basically said, I hope one day I get a standing O for doing something horrible, referring to Beyonce.
Adele.
Was it Adele? I thought it was Beyonce.
No, Adele, because she started singing and then she's...
Oh, okay, it was Adele. Going back, though, to Beyonce, not to keep picking on her, I think, like, they put pinchers, like little scorpions, in people's seats at the Oscars, and they just... all had little like headsets on, and the second Beyonce was done, they had to pitch everybody's ass. So she got a standing O. Everyone just stood. They didn't even know why they were standing. Back to Chaps. He's like, I wish one day I get a standing O for something that I fucked up or didn't do well, referring to when Adele got a standing O because she stopped mid-song. It's like, hey, I fucked up. I'm going to start over. And cool girl Christy and the rest of the Tegan and the rest of the people there, oh, how heroic. What a great job. And Caleb's crying in his living room. Like, this is so artistic. So somebody out of the woodwork basically tweeted back at Chaps and was like, what awards have you ever received?
I'll wait.
Chaps... response on Twitter. He had about 100 military medals lined up. He had a military mug of beer in front of it, the Purple Heart. And what did he say with it? It was just...
He said, I have a few.
Yeah, I have a few. It was the biggest
Twitter
murder I've ever seen. And one of my favorites, I just went down and looked at all the comments, and everyone's putting the different GIFs of the people going crazy, the SpongeBob SquarePants pants, like throwing dirt on himself like
nailed
he's
it.
Dead. There was just so much. So shout out to Chaps. It felt like I was part of that. Like a Twitter, of all the things the internet has brought us, watching people get murdered on Twitter, it's one of the best things. Like, I don't know how people live before you could watch people get murdered. People you don't know, strangers, get absolutely murdered on Twitter. That's the worst. I've been doing this for 13 years. That's the best comeback, the most decisive murder I've ever seen. What awards have you received? I'll wait. Here's 3,000 medals headlined by the Purple Heart in your face.
And then, the woman responded with, but what does that have to do with Grammys?
No, her response was, how about this military dude, like a Grammy and military awards are the same.
Oh, my God, the worst response of all time.
I got murdered again and then went private.
Like, yeah, her account is now very locked. Very locked account.
So shout out Chaps. He just absolutely crushed her.
I was speechless when
I saw
who
do you think's a worse group to offend? And I, like, in terms of you're going down a rabbit hole, military or Beyonce fans?
The troops.
You think you get people get on you more?
No,
than Beyonce
people get
fans?
On you more for Beyonce.
Yeah,
but
I think
troops is like you can't really argue it.
No, I'm not right. This isn't like what's morally. It's just like what group comes at you harder.
Oh, the Beehive.
Oh, no, the Beehive for sure.
No, I've tangled with the Hive many a time, and I like
tangled with
the Hive. You get the true like the troop like the troop people have guns. Like they'll come to your front door. The Hive is just on Twitter.
I would love to see Stoolies versus the Hive.
It's happening. Like, you look at the Boston Legends right now because of Dave's article, who's more douchey between LeBron and Beyonce. Like, it's happening. Like, Stoolies are attacking. It's a deadlock.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, the Stoolies they're not playing the best cards as per usual, but they're out there in full force.
I feel like the Bayhive, is that what it's called?
I feel like it's got to be Bayhive.
Like Bayhive. Right?
Queen
like
Bay,
like
isn't that what they call it?
I feel like, I don't know enough about the Bayhive, but I feel like the Stoolies are relentless. Like, they don't know when the fight's over. They're like rocking out, like, I didn't hear no bell. Like, the Bayhive may just want to throw a tweet and move on. Yeah. Our guys are like, we'll be here all year.
Like, 8 months from now, they'll be shitting on these people on Twitter still.
Today's episode of the Dave Portnoy Show is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And as a result, seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals, and produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming, which is a plus. That's a good thing. Man, I love using Blue Apron because they not only are they telling the truth when they send the freshest ingredients and the best tasting ingredients, but the way it's packaged and assembled and delivered is
it gets you in the mood to cook. And cooking is one of my favorite things, honestly. It's the top two, isn't it, Pete? So Blue Apron, if you want to cook and you want fresh ingredients and you want them delivered to your house and you don't want to mess with the grocery store, then this is what you're going to do. You're going to check out this week's menu on blueapron.com and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/prez, P-R-E-S. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/prez with the S, P-R-E-S. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city, any industry, or nationwide, I probably should have said. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, hire them, and make sure it's the right person. You can do it all fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/port, P-O-R-T, like a port that you would get goods from another country. That's ZipRecruiter.com/port, like the first four letters of Dave Portnoy's last name. I think that's where they were going. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/port.
Yeah. Here is your host, Dave Portnoy.
Frankie, you know I'm on the show today. How are you going to have the hosted by Dave Portnoy when you know I'm running the show? Unbelievable. I was here. I was ready to cuck you on your own show.
I don't even know who made that intro, though.
Well,
I don't like the intro. I don't like that guy's voice. I don't hate the music.
I like the radio stuff. The music gets going. It gets me going.
Maybe it's because you decided after hosting for one day that you were going to take a day off.
So you're literally
the most undependable host we've ever had.
I will host this show every single day if you just tell me that's what's going on.
I came in and told you that we wanted you to host, and you said, sorry, I can't. I had to do stuff for my podfathers.
You're a dick. I had a bunch of other things going. If I need to come in and save this show every single day, I will.
We had an A-plus show.
Oh,
yesterday.
Did you? Yes. Did you? By whose standards?
It was A-plus. I was on fire.
Oh, good. Well, how about you bring the heat today for Valentine's Day, huh?
Well, I'm not happy that the Westminster Dog Show is on Valentine's Day. That bothers me greatly.
Why is that?
Because I'd like to go to it, but who wants to go to the Westminster Dog Show on Valentine's Day? It's not a Valentine's Day type event.
Are you a big Valentine's Day guy?
No, but you can't just go if you're going on, like, I don't think chicks want to go to the Westminster Dog Show. It doesn't matter.
You don't think so?
No. For Valentine's Day? No.
I mean, like, that's a pretty unique date.
I was going to say.
That's not a fucking dogs.
It depends on
what
chicks
you're No. It's not the Westminster Dog
Show.
You're
not, like, rolling around playing with puppies. It's all snobby.
It's not even snotty. It's, like, weird people. You can still get tickets. I wanted to go. I was gazing out there staring at Feidelberg. I may make him go. Like, it's content. We're in New York. Somebody should be at the Westminster Dog Show making content.
Is this the first one with the cats, by the way, or not yet?
I guess, Frankie, speaking of the cats, so I wrote a blog, like, how I want the cats dead for the Westminster. Like, in cats, this is worse than ISIS invading America, that cats are in the Westminster Dog Show. And then I guess, Frankie, when I talk to you, I know you've had a hard time picking up this concept, but when I talk to you, you talk back into the microphone. I'm about to ask you a question. I want your reply. Who applied for cat credentials? I don't understand that. Is that different than Westminster Dog? Somebody specifically said we want access to the cats.
This is the cat convention.
This is a cat convention that Sean had. He came into the room today, like 20 minutes ago, and was like, oh, by the way, I applied for credentials to the cat convention, and they replied with this. And I gave Kevin the email.
Kendra from the cat convention says, thank you for your quick reply. I just wanted to clarify, as I saw a few articles on Barstool, that were not so positive about cats. Just to
fucking
be
hate cats,
transparent.
Kendra.
So they linked to the one I wrote about cats being allowed in the Westminster Dog Show. And she says, this is a charity event benefiting animal rescue, and it's being organized to raise awareness about what could be done to help at-risk cats. So we just want to be sure that any crew attending is in line with the same spirit.
I don't even know what an at-risk cat is. That sounds like a cat that's just ready to fucking dupe you and steal your fucking lunch
money. Yeah, like,
money.
Is there, like, a pound for cats? You know, you go, like, rescue dogs. Nobody rescues cats, do they?
Cats are the worst.
They just, if you don't have to rescue cats, they just live on their own. They're just stray cats. They're good at that.
Feral.
Stray cats do well.
Stray cat strut. It's a song, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, so they don't need any rescuing.
Is that a song, by the way? Stray cat strut?
I figured that was some old shit.
You just made that one up.
No, I think that's real. Anyways, we should have somebody... The Westminster dog... there's no one in this room who thinks a girl would like to do that on Valentine's Day, is there?
I mean, it just depends on the girl, I think. I think there's types of girls that would think that was like a cute idea.
Yeah, it's like going to like the museum or something.
No, girls like to dress up and like have a moochie moochie day.
There's some girls
moochie,
that are
moochie
like
moochie means schmoopy schmoopy?
That's like, yeah, same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I think there's like girls out there that would think it was a cute idea.
I could see that, but they would be weirdos. They'd be like weird hipsters or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a normal girl
you
does.
You just sit in the crowd. I got to be honest. I'm guessing watching the Westminster from the crowd, unless you're there to make content and make fun of it,
it's the worst
can
thing
get pretty fucking boring. It's not like you're petting the dogs. It's not like you're backstage. You know who's hosting this shit, I think?
Who?
Fucking Katie Nolan. I think she's actually
yeah, she
the
is.
Host.
Oh, wow. She is.
That's crazy. She's the biggest dog fraud going.
Why
she's
a she's dog
she's not
fraud.
A real dog person?
She, well, first of all, obviously, she was like the judge of our dog show, and she didn't know what a Hackney Gate was.
Oh, God.
Figure that one out, Caleb. Hackney Gate is what a miniature pincher, king of the toys, my dog. It's the type of walk they have.
It walks like an asshole.
Which is
it,
the perfect
it's legs
go
out. Like backwards.
It's straight showmanship, and she didn't even know what it meant. Katie Nolan. She'll probably turn this into a feminist rally. It'll be like only the female,
only female
dogs. Yeah, only the female dogs.
These
the
bitches.
Male dogs. Yeah, the male dogs will be no good.
I thought she was a great dog judge. I thought she killed
Stray Cat Strut.
This is the song, Stray Cat Strut.
Yeah, this is a fucking cat anthem. They don't need any help.
I was actually getting ready to look that up. Good job, Frankie.
Barstool Radio is back. Sports Illustrated girls just strolled off the elevator.
Oh,
chicks in the office, chicks in the... I heard people screaming, chicks in the office, chicks in the office, which is our war cry when there are females around. So I would
very
imagine
mature.
It's them.
Where'd Caleb go?
He's going to the bathroom. It's just me and you, Page Views. We're on 93 The Rush. The Twitter is at Barstool Radio. The phone number is 646-627-8450. You want to take a call before these girls
sure.
go in?
Sure, and if anyone wants to call and ask these girls questions, let us know. I'm curious... if they're going to be straight tens, I hope they are. I want to believe in something.
Google Images was promising.
It's like Kevin Malone from The Office when he's looking out, like, I want to believe in something.
You're about those TV and movie references today, huh?
That's how everyone gets it.
Yeah.
Colin, oh, here we go, and they've arrived. Obviously, office manager Brett is, like, letting them in because he suddenly shows up and does stuff. Hey, what's up? Dave, nice to meet you.
We got Danielle Harrington in the building, Sports Illustrated model.
So you've got the name, you got the face name recognition together.
Yeah, I hope so. 10.
I'm very curious to see whether you confuse them.
Are we live?
No, you
on
got
radio
it.
Right
yeah,
now?
We're live.
Oh,
we're
hey
on.
Guys. Hey
so
guys.
Danielle Harrington has
don't
joined.
Don't ever doubt me.
I wasn't sure. You didn't know. So you can put a headset on and join and welcome. So this is our first ever. By the way, you smell delightful.
Yeah, the room got
like,
a lot better, a lot prettier.
Perfume up my nostrils. So that's like awesome. For sure. So welcome. Are you alone? Was there someone else coming?
I thought so. They said.
Yeah, pull the thingy in. Yeah, there's supposed to be.
It's one more girl.
Yeah, Luis, yeah. Right?
I said
Lais Ribeiro.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So welcome.
Thank you
for coming
thank
in.
You.
We're all very excited.
I'm super excited.
The last guy who we had sitting in that chair, just like for the last segment, has horribly lazy eyes. So it's a very big upgrade in the looks department right
oh
now.
God.
We're happy about
he
that.
He better not be listening.
No, he probably is.
Oh
we said
God.
It right to his face, actually.
Yeah, no,
so
yeah.
Don't worry.
he knows.
The control room's like barking at us. Again, as I've said 1,000,000,000 times, talk so we can hear. These
I
wasn't
two, even talking to
these
you.
Two,
he's
these
not
two
talking to you,
idiots
Dave.
In the other room just make hand gestures like we understand what they're saying. If you have something to say, say it, Frankie. Now I can't even hear you're talking
Danielle
about
it. It's a very professional operation here.
I love
in
this.
In case you couldn't
so,
understand.
So, my first question always went, do you have any idea who we are?
No.
All right, fair
I
enough.
Like the honesty.
No, that's why
I thought for a second about being like, maybe. No.
So,
just
and
like
now
an
we got another.
Message.
Now we're going. And again, office manager Brett bringing in. So.
You want to sit here and then we can share a mic.
Yes, that works.
We
tall.
Got, Lais Ribeiro in the building along with Danielle.
Hello.
What's going on?
Another upgrade in the looks department, Caleb. Sorry, bud.
And tall. And tall. How tall are you?
I'm 6'1".
Wow.
Wow.
Should I put this on?
That's not
yes,
that's not good for you.
No, I'm 5'10". So
you're
okay.
5'10"?
Yeah, you said that almost with like a little bit of a laugh.
Yeah, kind of like a little kid.
Yeah,
5'10". Like 5'10".
Yeah, 6'1", tall. Ooh, and a hello, a little French kiss
little
there
smooch
on the cheek.
I saw some tongue. I saw
and
some
I don't,
tongue.
I don't mean that as a. Oh, I don't mean that as like a tongue French. I meant like when you kiss on the cheek, friends. Like
okay,
very.
Guys.
Yeah, very Euro. Very Euro. So.
All right, so 6'1" is not a good look for a 5'10" guy. Would you even consider dating a 5'10" guy?
Obviously
well,
not.
My boyfriend's 6'9", so I don't think
Jesus,
so.
Professional basketball player?
Yeah, he used to be.
Who? Do we know who he is?
No, he played in Europe for a long time, and then he's done right now.
Got it.
If you're 6'1", you got to go.
6'1",
you
got
to go. You basically have to date an NBA player at that point. Like that's.
How tall are you, Danielle?
I'm 5'10".
Okay, so.
What's the cutoff? Like, what's the shortest you would consider?
And it goes for you, too. 5'10", girls are still going up.
Well, it doesn't matter if the guy it's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, you just have to like
and,
them.
You know,
well,
fun.
I'm
yeah
very funny. So
well, I don't know you yet. Debatable. Let's see about
yeah, no,
that.
I we'll be, guarantee we'll you that's a fact. Like, are you guys going on that? We were just talking before you came in. Mm-hmm. So are you guys going on this plane thing that leaves from New York to Houston?
Yes.
That's right.
Okay, so I'm going on that plane as well. There's debate.
Are you?
Yeah. No, I am.
Oh,
like,
you are?
No,
are
I,
you
like,
really? Joking?
No, like,
are you really joking?
I'm like really, really going on that plane.
That's
I think.
That's not a good look that they didn't even consider that was a real
joke. How would I even know about the plane if I wasn't going on the plane?
I've
Frankie,
this, plane
this
for,
guy die waving in there is going on the plane as well. We were debating whether we're actually going the real plane or the fake plane, if there is a fake plane. But I'll if I'm on that plane by the end of that, you'll be like, oh, this dude's a real funny guy. I like guarantee you that. If I have a 2 to 3 no, how long is to Houston? 3.5 hours?
A 3 hour window is good.
3 hours
three
to
hours
have me trapped in a confined
but
area.
But it's a lot of girls.
I know.
I know that. But in a when you can't run away, when
you're
I'm
be
like
lost.
When I'm like in the living room like a college coach, that is when I am at my best. So there's
you
nowhere
know,
to go.
It would be 5'10", but like 6'10" in her heart by the end of that. Maybe, of that trip.
Maybe. I'm confused. All right. So there's two types of like modeling really, right? There's like runway, which girls tend to be like tall. The swimsuit issue, I didn't think height was as important, but clearly it is because you guys are both really tall. So do you have to be tall to be in the Sports Illustrated thing?
Not really.
No, I don't think so.
You just
what's the shortest model you know at SI?
I'm not going to say names, but...
Yeah, no, just the height. I mean, what's the... What, how,
why
how,
is that... That's not mean. That's just a
no,
fact.
No, I feel like
mean
you're throwing
I'm
shade. If you're talking about the shortest model, that's like throwing
yeah
shade.
Yeah, it's mean. It is mean.
Because it's an really advantage to be tall, so it's like, oh, yeah, that's
no,
the
but that's
one
my point. I didn't think it was an advantage for, like, print. I thought it was only an advantage for runway.
No, but right now, it's Fashion Week right now, and they are doing shows, so it doesn't matter anymore. Before, it used to be very tall and very skinny, and now it's all
anything
types of models. Yeah.
So how, are you guys doing just the rounds then today? Are they is who Sports Illustrated sent you here, correct?
Yes.
Correct. So are they just sending you all over like Manhattan?
Yeah, during this week.
Who else have you
Small
been with?
Week.
Anybody? Nobody
yes
is like handsome and charming
I
as
just
us?
Got in this morning.
Where so are you from?
I'm from Compton.
Okay.
But I had a shoot in LA. I live here now.
Got it.
But I just got here at like 5 a.m.
Got it. So you guys are on like the whirlwind. Is
fresh.
It, and you guys are both rookies?
Yes.
Sports Illustrated rookies.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. So is that like...
It's a big deal.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. We were actually talking, and I don't know if this is... Is this going to be a rude question, you think? What I'm
if you're
ask
prefacing it with that,
yeah,
probably,
probably.
But let's see.
We were coming in, and we're like, we're talking, how hot are these? Are you guys going to be obviously super hot? But there's different, like, I don't particularly think, like, string models, the, like, the high fashion models, I don't always be like, oh, that's the hottest girl of all time. So we put our A-list, like, the dream model as Victoria's Secret, like, the A-team. Like, when you think that, that's best. We had Sports Illustrated swimsuit, like, a close second. Do you, like, what is this your dream? Like, what is the highest that someone can get in? Did you think this is rude? Are you shaking? Or do you think I prefaced that
I would
like
imagine
fairly?
Sports Illustrated models are thrilled to be on the SI swimsuit.
Oh, I'm a Victoria's Secret angel, so.
Oh, you're both.
You're both.
I didn't know that was allowed.
I thought it was like WWF,
you
WCW.
Know, because Victoria's Secret used to do bikinis, and they don't do it anymore, so now we are allowed to do it.
I didn't know Victoria's Secret didn't do bikinis anymore.
Yeah, a couple months ago.
Wow. So that's new. So how many of those crossovers are there then? Are you like...
A couple of them. They did not this year, but the other.
So were you in that angel show on like?
Yes.
Wow. So all right, then that's.
I've
all
been working with them for 6 years already.
Okay. Yeah. So, are we missing anything then in that bracket of, like the pinnacle of getting in Sports Illustrated Victoria's Secret? Like, what else is there?
I don't think we can compare each of them, the companies, they're different. But for me, they have Victoria's Secret. They have how can I explain this? I don't want to get in trouble here.
We're hoping you do. We're
just going to be quiet until you keep talking.
Okay, I'm going to be quiet also.
We do have a bunch of Valentine's Day questions, too. We were at a big, yeah. Questions about that.
Dave, can I ask one question before you get into Valentine's Day?
Absolutely.
Just
ask
about the plane?
You want. Oh, the plane.
About the plane. We were talking earlier about the plane. Is every single girl going to be on this plane?
Yes.
Like, is Chrissy Brinkley going to be on this plane, do you know?
Yes, everyone.
Chrissy Brinkley is going to be on this plane.
Hannah Davis is going to be on this plane.
Yeah, yes. Hannah is the hottest. Oh, she's my favorite.
So, Dave, you're going with the big dogs. Everybody.
Frankie Farrelly's going with the big dogs.
No, we know there's a plane taking him there.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know that him and I are necessarily guaranteed on the same plane.
You guys are going.
Yeah.
I think you'll be like underneath.
No, we're on a
50-seater plane. She said 23 girls.
Frankie and I are on a plane.
I'm not believing. I don't know why. But
you don't believe that we're going to be on a plane.
I don't think so.
First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to walk up. If I'm on this plane, I'm going to be like, I fucking told you so. I'm going to look you right in the eyes and be like, I'm here. And then
please
deal
with
it.
I'll be waiting for you.
Frankie, you think we're going to be on the
same
plane?
Remember this face.
I'm getting juiced up right now.
We'll find out. I guess we will find out. He and I are on a plane. We're told to pack our bags Thursday. We're getting on a plane with 50 people, like 25 models, 25 hair and makeup type people, and then him and I.
Oh, you're lying right now.
Yeah. I'm not fucking lying.
Yes, you are.
How would I even know about
that? We don't have 25 people to do the hair and makeup.
That's what, Frankie, what were we told?
Somebody's lying somewhere. Could be you, could be them.
Thursday night, and they're taking us straight to a private plane that's taking us to Houston Thursday night.
So that's what we're told. That's what we're told.
I love it.
That kind of sounds legit. I don't know.
The fact that they are not even giving this a 1% chance.
I just did.
Yeah, you're being polite. You're being polite. It's Kevin Clancy alongside with Caleb Coley. And then, yes, Dave also is in the room. It's Barstool Radio on Sirius 93 The Rush. The phone number is 646-627-8450. We're going to be playing This or That early today after the first break. So get your calls in now. Also, tweet at us if you can't call in. Coley's over there on – it's at Barstool Radio. You can tweet us in This or That as well. We got a lot to talk about today. Tiger, Tom Izzo, Russia, North Korea. The list goes on and on. But – I figure we'll start today recapping how your Valentine's Day went, because we talked about it. You both were very high on your respective restaurants. Dave really, really claimed to blow you out of the water, Caleb. So I guess we'll start with you, how you went to Catch last night, 9 o'clock reservation.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was good. It was good, but they kept – the only complaint I would have – I have two complaints. Besides that, it was great.
Okay.
First complaint, I got there at 9 because that's what time the reservation was, and I was there on time. And they said, here, go to the bar and get a drink while we get your table ready.
Classic.
The table's not ready till 9:40.
That's like $100
bill.
What's the place you hate? What's the club?
Vandal.
Vandal. Portnoy went to war with Vandal.
FYI, that's Catch. Catch is notoriously like late seating. All those places that are trendy, touristy, clubby, like restaurants, they don't give a fuck on time. They really don't.
Once again, pro New Yorker.
So it goes like $88 at the bar.
Yeah, that's the worst part about when they don't, like, I don't mind waiting, but I'm going to spend so much fucking money at your restaurant.
Right, and we
didn't
mind waiting, but that was a complaint. The other complaint, maybe not so much a complaint as much as just a storyline. Some dude tweeted me.
Saw that.
Created an account just to
tweet
this.
First tweet ever. He creates an account. He sees me at Catch. He creates an account to tweet Erica, our boss, our CEO, that I'm short.
Tall was?
Yeah, he said he was like, I thought quarterbacks had to be at least 6'1". Like Erica,
you're definitely, how tall are you?
6'1".
I'm like 6'2", actually. Yeah. So he says, he makes a Twitter account to tweet my boss. He says, well, I wish you could hire, I can't remember what exactly he says, that your quarterback should be 6'2". And I replied to him, like, I was just, my girl was in the bathroom, so I'm looking at my phone. And I replied to him, like, I mean, maybe next time come say hi. Yo, how crazy do you have to be to make a Twitter account just so you can tweet some guy that you saw at the bar that you didn't want to talk to, so you can tweet his boss that he's short?
Yeah.
He said, welcome to my world. Do you know how many shorts I get?
Yeah, but you're actually short.
But no, I'm Caleb's on the taller side. I'm an average height, 5'10".
But you know how much effort that takes?
Yeah, for the record, this was the exact tweet. What kind of D1 QB is below 6'1"? Erica Nardini, what kind of scrubs are you bringing in over there? I'm just saying, were you sitting down or standing up?
Because, I mean, I get...
That makes a difference. K. Marco once took a picture where he was sitting at the bar and other people were standing. And for like 5 years before we were doing
I mean, I don't
stuff,
know. This person didn't come up talking to me. I don't know when they saw me. I'm just saying how crazy you have to be. And I understand that there's crazy people out there and that Barstool, we deal with a lot of them. But you wouldn't think they'd be at Catch.
I mean, you would. Catch is like... I like Catch. Catch is like a pregame spot. It's not a Valentine's Day spot. You're going to get some weird shit going on there. I said that
well,
from the beginning.
I mean, it's an age thing, too. Younger guy doesn't have millions of dollars to throw around.
I didn't catch, fancy. Catch ain't cheap.
No, but I'm saying you want to go to a fancy place, but not like
catch ain't
over
cheap.
The top Portnoy fancy. It's a good spot for someone in his
I mean, catch is not cheap. So
well, that's what I'm saying.
That.
You would think of that respectable location.
Like that argument of the money thing, catch is expensive. Catch is very expensive.
On your level?
Catch expensive. It wasn't what I did last night.
$300.
Yeah, no. Catch is an expensive place.
It took me for $300, but you wouldn't think that that type of person would be at Catch. You would think they would be at Catch.
There we go. That's my point. That's my point. You're over here spending your blog millions.
Catch is I went to a very expensive, but mine was, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, I cut you off.
I mean, that was my only point. I just think it's crazy, and you would. I know those people exist. I know those people interact with us. I know those people tweet us. You wouldn't think they would have enough money to go to Catch.
Wow. Do it on a Valentine's Day.
Oh no, that's
Day
not
night.
True either. The
weird goes poor. It goes rich.
Yeah,
it goes all over.
I don't
over.
Think you can put it in bucket. I really don't.
There's some of the weirdest guys are probably like you know Wall Street bankers who love the stool who you know
totally.
Make tons.
Really,
make more
yeah,
than all of us.
Totally. Huh. And it's like where in a weird way they rub shoulders with like real famous people, but for some reason it's like they read us every day. It's like oh, I'm excited to meet the Barstool guys.
Yeah, idiots. But do you think they're gonna make a new Twitter account to tweet Erica?
Mm. Never know. The weird.
Never know. I really see that being like
a
high school
picture.
That's like a high school
kid. That's even weirder when you take a picture and tweet the picture at the person.
It was weird. But besides that, I had a good time. It was good.
Get the job done. Lady was happy.
Yeah. It was all. Everything was good. She got me for Valentine's. I know yesterday I was talking about girls don't have to get anything. She got me a Mets Tebow jersey.
Oh, wow. I'll take that from you.
It's now I have every single Tebow jersey that he's ever played in.
That's pretty cool.
Do they
pretty sweet.
Are they making those or do you have to make it? You can buy them.
You can like buy them at the Mets store. Yeah.
The Mets will sell fucking anything.
I was happy with Valentine's.
That's why they signed him.
Yeah, I know.
So they could
I know.
Sell that jersey.
I know. I thought they were going to at least like try to invite him to spring training first before they start selling Arizona Fall League players jerseys. All right, Dave, we'll let you gush about your fancy dinner because I know you want
well,
to. And
yeah,
then I'm going to tell you about the worst Valentine's date I've ever heard in my life.
Couple things, first of all. So I bought crap flowers in the morning. And then I bought Unseen. I researched and bought, like, nice flowers. Same thing. Dozen roses. I've never been more right about anything in my life. The expensive roses, I have a picture of it. I took it side by side. I'll send it to you, Coley, for proof of when I was saying there's a huge difference in flowers. This wasn't me picking it out. It just went to a place that was cheap and said a dozen red roses. And a place that I researched that I knew they had good flowers, dozen red roses. I'll show you the difference.
Davey Romantic over here doing research, looking up
flowers. No, I take flowers very seriously.
Apparently,
I said that yesterday.
I saw Young Pageviews walk in with them.
Young Pageviews apparently.
Was that, did you send him to go pick
so,
them up?
So what happened is I was supposed to get the flowers, pick them up at the flower place. I ended up having meetings. I had to go to the dentist and I got to get my tooth extracted. So that was big news.
The dead one.
Dead. It's dead.
The dead tooth is still in your head. You got to get that out.
The root canal won't fix it. So I'm going under next Friday, totally, and they're taking the whole fucking thing out.
And you're just
going
to have like a gap there?
Gap there for like 3 to 6 months before they can put in a replacement. So I had that. Then I had to go to Facebook. We had a meeting at Facebook, so I couldn't get the flowers. Erica actually is like, you want me to bring the flowers to Facebook? I'm like, yeah. She's like, they're huge. So
yeah, I was going to say, I saw Pageviews walk in off the elevator. He was like carrying a tree.
Yeah,
he had,
right.
Like, a huge
so
fucking thing.
Young Pageviews, so Young Pageviews got him. We have like a doorman, like a virtual doorman at our place. So basically packages, you can buzz in and then there's a place you'll leave them that's locked. So I told him to do that. Young Pageviews hung out in my lobby for 4 hours. With the flowers, just sitting there guarding the flowers. The word that I got back was office manager Brett was so petrified about losing my clothes, he didn't want to lose the flowers. So, like, when Jordan just walked in, Young Page was just sitting there with the flowers.
Here you go, Jordan. Happy Valentine's Day from Dave.
So that's how that happened.
For 4 hours?
Yo,
yeah. Four to seven, something like that.
Are you, like, good job?
Young
Page? Because
Pages?
Of that? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Because part of me thinks. Yes, he was just like, I'll do whatever it takes. But part of me thinks, like, you're being ridiculous. You have to think more than that. Dude.
It could have just been left in a locked. I thought I was just going to leave him in a locked area and I grab him, but he didn't. But he just guarded them. So, you know, she walked in and young Paige was just sitting in the lobby with like these fucking flowers.
He's unbelievable. And he like lives here.
He probably took a nap. That's like I got a roof over my head for four hours.
That's actually probably more what was going on. He probably knew exactly where he could put the flowers, but he had a shelter for a few hours. I need Francis to admit that he faked cancer, and I just need young Paige to tell me he's homeless and he lives here. I have no problem with
it. He has a pet here and everything.
Yeah, he has a pet. He sleeps here every weekend. He's constantly getting caught like with his pants off in the middle of the fucking – he has no logic. He was like, well, you know, it's 6 o'clock and the game's starting at 7, so I just decided to stay here all night long.
Take my
like,
pants
what?
Off.
No, dude, you're a homeless person.
The meal itself was unbelievable. It's so fucking good.
What'd you get?
It's
sushi, place
right?
called again?
Oh, yeah. O-YA. There's one Boston. There's Boston you can't – if you try to make a reservation in Boston, it's like 3 months to get in. New York you can get in because there's more places. It's a little bit bigger. They only had two options, an 18-course and a 24. They just bring out bites. It was so good. We did the 24. I will say my date maybe drank a little bit too much, and we had to cut it off before we got to the 24 and get out of there. So – It didn't end on the highest of notes, but that's, I guess, when you're swimming in my waters,
that's what's going to happen. You were just talking the other day how your doctor friend said if you don't come in like 30 days, you're going to die, right?
Well, it's just impossible. You just do.
It just comes out of you.
It's literally physically impossible. It just comes out of you.
I would actually really like someone else, not me, to try that.
I'm sure people do. I mean,
so
there has
comes,
to be
you
people
You
want to
see
out
someone
there.
Come themselves?
I don't want to see it. I want to report back on it because I think it would be very funny if like Robbie Fox was holding out for 30 days and he's like standing in the middle of Chipotle and he just comes his
Dude,
pants. I think that would be funny.
If you told Robbie Fox, get him in here. We'll ask him without knowing. I guarantee
he'll do it.
Like,
he'll try.
Robbie Fox, you can't come till we say so. He'd be like, I'm in. Like he was gonna change his name to Super Bowl.
Correct.
Legally
change his name.
So we could have somebody on set on Comedy Central and say the word and be like Super Bowl. Here he is.
Hop on the mic.
Robbie Fox
is in the building. Robbie Fox, for the new listeners,
Robbie is Fox
a
is
intern,
one of the, yeah.
a new intern rising the ranks.
And unknown because he's been like a real annoying guy for a long time at Barstool Annals, like
he's,
sending like shirt designs that stink. And no one,
horrible.
I had no idea.
You're 16 years old now?
18.
18. You've been a stoolie since you were like out of the
12,
womb.
12, yeah.
You still look like you're 12.
Yep.
You're about 140 pounds.
Yep.
He loves MMA. He just chant whenever somebody says, I love this guy. Whenever somebody says something about me, mean about me on Twitter or social media, he immediately challenges him to the octagon, which I fucking love.
That's a great guy to have, the
octagon
guy.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the scenario. This guy just called in, and his would you rather involved the Patriots losing, but the other side of it was you can't come for a whole year. And obviously that's completely ridiculous, but Caleb has a doctor friend who says after 30 days, you will just come. So we have decided that we're going to put you to the challenge of, Robbie, you're not allowed to come until we tell you.
Will you do that?
No.
You won't?
No.
He just build you up as a guy who will do anything for this team.
I'm so disappointed. I thought for sure I could be like, you can't come until we say you can, and you would do that for content.
I can't do that because eventually I'm just going to come in my pants.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we kind of want to see.
Just unsuspected come in my pants.
No.
Yes.
But then you
got to
report when it had potential.
Right. That's content.
No,
if you're at Chipotle and I just came, that's funny.
You'd have like what they call a wet dream.
Right.
You'd come in and sleep.
Exactly, but we want to know how many days.
Right.
I want to know where, when, how many days.
You really wouldn't be like, Robbie, stop coming for us?
No.
That is actually upsetting that he's so defiant about it.
But
he's not even remorseful.
I'm just saying, like,
you're gonna change
you just
your
want
name?
Me, to, just want me to hang out here till I come in my pants?
Get text.
Get text
go get text.
Text
no, you can do anything. All right, go ask Tex. We're going to find out who's the team player around
here. We're going to bring Tex in after the break. We'll see which one of these guys is the team player, which one will hold out their comment.
You live your normal life, Robbie. You just go around. You just can't jerk off.
Frankie Borelli on the beat, producing the shit out of this show with the ejaculation song. It's Barstool Radio on Sirius 93, The Rush. We got Tex in here to answer the same question that we just asked Robbie Fox. But before we get to that, it sounds like you had an absolutely atrocious Valentine's Day. What happened?
All right, so I get to the bar. She's an hour late.
Oh, that's such disrespect.
That's such disrespect.
So I just like.
I think I just go home.
Who is this girl?
This girl I met on Tinder.
Okay. You met her at a bar? Nothing serious.
Oh, Tinder.
Had you already gone out with her?
No.
Oh, it's a blind
first
Valentine's
date.
First date. Wow.
I checked out her Instagram.
She's hot.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's worth an hour wait? Is she that
well,
hot?
Well, I just started checking IDs, acting like a bouncer. I was pretty bored. But we get there, we order our food.
Wait, what bar is this?
212 Hussies.
Okay.
It's in NYU. So we order our food and shit, and our drinks, and then she's just like, hey, my friends are over there. I'm going to go chill with them.
Oh,
and so I went off on her. So she's like Russian. I was like, I think I called her like a Bolshevik lesbian tree thumper. And then there was a couple stoolies next to me, so we got shit-faced. Came back here, played cornhole, but then I realized I left all my laptop and shit at the bar on the Lower East Side.
What a night.
So I went back, and then...
Who was playing cornhole here on Valentine's Day?
Me.
Oh, it's just you.
By yourself?
Well, no, in the two stoolies.
Okay, got
it. Oh, you brought randos back here?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
frowned upon, I think.
Usually bringing a rando home on Valentine's Day is a good thing when it's two dudes and you're playing cornhole at your place of work.
I mean, it was just back to work. It's 15 minutes.
Hey, you guys want to go back to my office and play cornhole?
I think on a side note, dead serious, it's a policy that I'm going to have to install. I think people are too liberal with just bringing strangers into this office.
Well, we have a fucking chinchilla in this office, so there's definitely a liberal policy here.
And then, so I came back, and then I realized I left my debit card at another bar.
Oh, fuck.
So I had to go back, and then I just...
Just called it a night.
Yeah. So it was a shitty...
What do you think is more disrespectful, the hour late arrival or the just mid-date, I'm going to go over there? Which part pissed you off more?
She looked me in the eye and said, I'm going to hang out with my
friend. I almost respect...
Yeah. She was hot.
I mean, what are you going to do? She just didn't like you.
Yeah, I respect someone pulling the cord and being like, this is over, rather than like stringing me along, and then I buy you drinks and dessert. And at least she gave you an option to go do something else for the night.
Her family owned the bar, so she was going to be like, oh, yeah, it's all free. And then they brought me the check, and I was like, I'm not fucking paying
that. Okay, I was going to say, Tex, this is the most disrespectful
night
of all time.
But then I left my shit there, and I had to go back and pay.
Wait, so you didn't pay it, and then you left all your things there, and so you had to go back?
Yeah.
After
you
bouncing
pay
without paying?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Tex. This is literally the worst night I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, man. It was a shitty night.
Not a good Valentine's Day for Tex.
No.
That's all right.
But
it happens.
The question we had for you, Tex, is I don't even know how this
okay,
came
so
up.
Okay, so I'll explain it. We had a caller say, would you rather the Patriots go 0-16, whatever, or you can't come for an entire year, which is obviously so ridiculous. Nobody could do that. Caleb, though, said that his doctor friend has explained to him, if you try to not come for like 30 days, you'll just come. It'll just come out of you.
Yeah.
So we asked Robbie... Robbie, will you basically play the game? You're not allowed to come until we tell you.
I'd come. I don't give a shit about the Patriots. I mean, they're
But so we're asking to you now. Forget about the Patriots. So as far as content, like you are no longer starting right now. You can't have sex. You can't jerk off until we tell you.
For content,
how much money?
For content, for your job, to be a star, to be on a video series on Barstool Sports
star
called Tex can't come until we tell him to.
Can I just do another fight or something?
No, we've seen you do that.
The question is, would you do it? Would you be like, yeah, I'll do that for content? Yeah. By the way, I don't think it's 30 days. I honestly think if you don't come for like 4 or 5 days, it comes out.
It's longer than 4 or 5, but
no, I don't think it is.
So, but what if?
I don't know. I mean, you got me.
That's fine. No,
I think it's much shorter than you think.
I bet I can beat everybody though.
Okay, like, now we're getting there. So.
Come.
So that's really
that was
what
like
we
a
need.
Seinfeld episode.
Right, the
master of your own domain.
Let's do Tex versus Robbie. Come on, fucking Robbie, step up.
So you think that you can go against Robbie and you'll come after him?
Maybe you guys will come together.
Hear this conversation right
oh,
now?
Oh, yeah, no, we hear it. This I hear it loud true. And clear.
Yeah, I'd beat him.
We got Big Daddy Trent from Iowa in the building because his boy, his crush, man crush, Tiger Woods is back in the news. Tiger, at this point, I think he's got to be trolling. I think it's like he has withdrawn from a press conference where you sit down and talk because his doctors advised him to limit all activities.
Yeah, we're in uncharted territory with Tiger now because he's withdrawn from tournaments before. That's kind of his thing now.
I stopped reading I saw Tiger withdraws. I was like, I don't even know why we're talking about this because who cares? It turns out it's a fucking
It's
press
preposterous
conference.
For him to say that it's because of the doctors. I mean, I'm still on his side.
How?
I'm a Tiger
How are you
guy.
Still? When quit on this guy? Like Taylor Hall. The hockey guy.
Yeah.
He was a huge Tiger Woods, and I used to always hit him because I was in Tiger Woods' kitchen. He's one of the guys that I've been most right about in the history of Barstool.
Okay.
I knew when he was dead, and I said that he was mentally weak, and he got hit with the golf club, and he died. The Tiger Woods we knew, outside of maybe Mike Tyson, one of the
swiftest downfalls from domination.
You're not wrong.
No, no, I'm right. And my question for you, Trent, is how long do you let this guy basically just jerk you off? Because that's what he's doing. He's making a fool of you.
It's fine. I'm going to be on his side until he retires. I don't understand the people. Why do you guys want to close the door on a Tiger comeback? That's no fun. You guys saying he's never going to be great again, blah, blah, blah. I would rather keep that open until he's just gone forever.
No, I don't. I'm not closing the door. I like watching him make a fool out of himself and watching people like you have to defend him.
It's very similar to being a Jets fan.
Yeah.
It's like I'm going to leave the door open that there's a Super Bowl possibility, but I know there's fucking not, and you just keep rooting for it anyway. But except the difference is that it's just a random dude that you don't really have to follow if you don't want to.
No, but I live on the memories from like early Tiger Woods from the early 2000s where like those were so awesome, and I know we're never getting that Tiger back, but I want to see one flash of it if he contends at a major again. It'll be the biggest story in the world. The fact that we're talking about Tiger right now is proof that he still moves the needle.
That's just because of people like you.
We keep it alive, yeah,
because right,
I want it
alive.
To be.
Yeah. Do you think he's more why did he fall from grace in your opinion so quickly? Was it A, he is actually mentally weak and once his perfect image got shattered with all the hookers and Ellen and all, he could just never, because golf's such a mental game, he could never get mentally right, or was it the steroids?
No, it's the mental thing. It's when he stepped on the tee pre-2009 Thanksgiving, he had the edge on everybody. Everybody's kind of scared of him. He had that Tiger, I'm the best in the world. And then once you lose that, it's what you're saying. Once you lose that perfect image, the family image is gone. He never got that back. Now people see, oh, he's got a weakness now, the other golfers. I can get an edge on him. He's not what we thought he was.
I think he was a weirdo with his dad, too. I think when his dad died, that messed with him.
But he still played
great when his dad died, didn't he?
I don't know. I just feel like, I'm just saying in general that I think he's a weird, he's like an A-Rod type, where it's like he's mentally, aside from the hookers and like getting like called out by your wife and hit with the golf clubs, I think he's just like a mentally, like that article, I think it was a Sports Illustrated a couple years ago, where he like trained with the Navy SEALs, but none of them liked him. He doesn't tip anybody. He does everything wrong outside of a golf course, to the point that I think it was a lot of things that happened, but it was all mental that made
it. He's got that weird thing about like the Navy SEAL obsession where a lot of people think that's where his injuries come from. He trained with Navy SEALs in like underground bunkers and they had him attack him and he would run in army boots, and that's why people say fucked up his knee.
That is the most preposterous.
Ridiculous.
Tiger loving, like spoon fed, Dairy Queen blizzard excuse I've ever heard, Trent.
You didn't hear that, or did you read that article?
Steroids.
Once upon a time, yes, steroids. I would agree
you
that he
just
did that.
Said his injuries are from
running in boots.
Hey, Navy SEALs attacking him.
I read the same article he's talking about, and he
was that from your boy, the InfoWars guy?
Alex Jones, that is my guy. That is my guy, first of all. But no, he was running 6 miles a morning in army boots.
Yeah. It was Wright Thompson from ESPN. That's who wrote it. And it was this long expose about Tiger running.
I don't buy all the shit that it was because he's running in boots. But when I read that, I was like, this dude's a head case on so many levels.
The number one clip, which I don't think is on the internet anymore, but that sums up everything you need to know about Tiger Woods, is Stanford basketball. He was sitting front row, and they beat somebody in like double overtime or a buzzer beater. And Stanford rushed the court, and he ran like a little daisy flower. Like he was afraid to get touched. It looked like he was running with his like he was a gay.
He's a golfer.
A gay.
It looked like he was gay. Like his hands were, not that there's anything wrong with that. It looked like he was a
right. Okay, but here's my thing. Like if Phil Mickelson did that, wouldn't you kind of just be like, oh, that's just Phil?
Mickelson wouldn't do it though. He wouldn't run like how Tiger.
It was that bad.
It was bad. If anyone can find that clip.
Because I could see a scenario where a golfer does that.
He had a white backwards hat on, maroon Stanford,
like,
and he just
I will say if Davis Love III ran like a Nancy boy, I'd be like, he's just a golfer. But we had this perception of Tiger that all of a sudden when you see him do things like that, you realize he's not so badass.
I'm willing to admit that it gets harder and harder to defend Tiger off the course because he does some weird shit. He dresses with jeans, like shirts tucked into his jeans. And
is
then
he
he's
still out here with all the girls?
No, he was dating Lindsey Vonn
for a while.
He's
dating Lindsey Vonn. Now
that doesn't matter.
Lindsey Vonn is him.
Yeah, you want to talk.
You want to talk Lindsey Vonn. There's another one that mentally I can't wrap my brain around. I don't know what her deal is.
What do you mean?
I just don't know. She's crazy. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I think she's a sex fiend. I don't know.
Oh, I think she is a dragon.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes she posts those Instagrams where she's like doing butt workouts.
Yeah, the one.
But then she goes and dates fucking J.J. Watt. It's like,
right.
Can't be that
crazy. Yeah, J.J. Watt, Tiger Woods, not two great like notches on her
unless
belt.
Unless maybe that's like her thing. Like, I want to dominate these dorks.
I mean, Tiger Woods is horrible in bed. I'm not.
Fact.
Yeah.
Well, if you, I mean, if you read those text messages, they're weird, and he just like wants chicks. He wants to piss on chicks.
Yeah, he's well, that's weird, but I mean, he's not good. And but the, I hadn't heard that Navy SEAL thing. That's insanity.
And none of them like him. They're like,
no, he's a very unlikable guy.
He's very A-Rod-esque, where it's like these totally. Guys are savants that just perfected one thing in life, and they suck at everything else.
The Bill story, Simmons analogy.
The story in the article was he went out to dinner with a bunch of Navy SEALs, and then when the check came, it sat there and just sat there and sat there and sat there. They just assumed Tiger was going to pay.
He made them split it or whatever, right?
One of the Navy SEALs had to grab it and pay for it. Yeah, so he's,
that's a
– And you like
when it comes
guy.
To tipping and dinner –
I like him on the golf course. It's exciting.
He's
when
he never
plays.
On the fucking golf course.
Yeah, but
that's why I'm saying it's getting tougher to defend.
Yeah, but you can like him if he's an asshole. You can like him. I like him being involved. I've said that. It's way more exciting. It's fun to root against somebody just as almost as much fun to root for him. But if he's a certified asshole, like he makes Navy SEALs fucking pick up a tab, then you should root against him. I still want him involved. There's no doubt. There's nothing I'd love to see more than the Masters, which I think we're going to.
We are. Are we announcing that? We haven't said anything about it.
I don't know. I just said we're going.
There you go.
On Sirius.
Live.
If he, Rush 93,
you
Sirius
should be,
XM.
You should be invested in Tiger because if he does well, we're going to sell a shit ton of shirts.
Call us up. Reminisce about Hurricane Peter McNeely. I've never felt older than these guys just blatantly not even having a clue. That and Fan Man. We should do. This should be a part of Barstool Radio, like a throwback where you
talk
about.
I played that game.
About,
speaking of Valentine's Day, I played a little bit of that game yesterday. It didn't go well.
that's only that, you can only feel like shit after that. There's no win for you there,
dude. I just can't even imagine how it goes.
It's like Bugs Bunny. Nope.
Oh no.
Oh man, that is. I we need like a, we need to like secretly film that or something. Dave playing the name game.
Bug Bunny.
Nope.
Was that a real one?
Yeah.
Yeah, what were some other ones?
Tom and Jerry was a yes.
Not knowing Bugs Bunny
Bugs
is
Bunny
crazy.
Is kind of like a general knowledge thing.
It's not, yeah, not necessarily an age thing.
It's
I think
just like a
people
comment
are
on
just
your
aware.
Intelligence.
No, I, is Bugs Bunny still going?
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny? All right, then that makes me feel better.
Why?
No,
that should make
worse,
you feel better.
You should know.
No, because I thought it was like off the air.
What?
I thought Bugs Bunny was no longer a person. Side note, I think for my 40th birthday, we're going to be in Vegas pretty much. There's a national pizza convention so that Frankie and I are going to, and it's like 5 days after my birthday.
Frankie's killing the game right now.
Frankie's turned into my new Hank.
So Frankie and is the new Hank to the point that Dave sometimes calls them Hanky.
Yeah.
And,
oh, no.
And Fank.
It's true. This guy who called by...
Yeah, that's from Frankie. Frankie.
Yeah,
that's just Frankie. He's just yelling at him in the production room.
I need this is office filled of guys who aren't my guys. Frankie's my guy. It was his idea to do the dentist thing yesterday. The pizza review that I did in the dentist chair.
He's a good producer.
Yeah, it was
very
smart.
He's a
very
good producer.
No days off. We did the pizza review. No days off. Very well played, Frankie. This guy Joe says he's had the thing that I got to do. The thing in the dick, Joe.
Yeah, I had it done of like a. 10 years ago, man, it is the most painful thing I've ever experienced.
Well, you want to know what you're going into. You don't want anyone to.
My guy said it wasn't painful. He just said it's like very uneasy and like uncomfortable.
I heard I had it, and my wife actually had to hold my feet, my legs down because I would have.
Oh well, Frankie, guess what you're doing, bud? Frankie's gonna hold down Dave's feet while he gets a tube shoved up his dick.
Oh my god,
that's what happens Jesus. When you're a brick by brick.
Can they knock you out?
Can they numb it? Just like you numb a tooth when you get it fucking pulled out. Just numb your dick.
But to me, it's not even necessarily the pain; it's the thought that's like making me so queasy that I could pass the fuck out. I got to do it, though. What if something's wrong? Is that the same as a prostate exam or no?
No.
Prostate's when they stick your thing. That happened to me, too. They had me face down on the mat.
Oh,
and he
my
just
God. Your butt.
Fingers
right?
in my ass.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Dave.
It was unbelievable.
Why did you have that done?
For the same issue. They're checking everything.
Oh,
prostate
my God.
For the piss.
Dave's getting butt fingered. This is getting
I
weird,
literally was
man.
Like a chick on the mat. Like I had, they like bend over, and then I wasn't like face down. I was like, okay.
Did you know what was going on? Did they tell you? Did they tell you like this is what we're about to do, or they're just like,
no,
he told me. While I'm here, I'll check up here.
He told me, but I don't think I totally got it.
I think
there was so much Vaseline in my ass. It was.
Oh my God. We are absolutely going to break. That's enough. We are going to break. When you hear Vaseline in the ass, that's enough.
Which is what my mum, by the way, says to do if you get the runs.
Okay. None of that. So you're excited for Brinkley.
Very excited.
What are you going to do with your workout with Upton? You going to push her hard? Because
it's like her workout. Like, I'm going to her workout. She'll probably put me in a body bag. I don't work out.
Just don't eat and do Adderall, right?
Yeah. In the morning, 11 a.m., I'm just – no.
But only once a week.
No, I honestly, when's the last time I've done Adderall? I haven't. I'm drinking a lot of coffee, trying to keep hydrated with some water.
I think you've been blood doping.
That's
– we should all be blood doping.
I got blood coming out of my dick. I don't know what that's all about.
Something going on with the blood, that's for sure. Frankie Borelli, are you ready to just live this life as, like, Dave's best friend, like Hank used to do?
I am very ready.
Now, you know that it almost, like, broke and killed Hank, and he had to, like, run away to PMT after a couple years. You think you're going to last longer than him?
I'm mentally prepared.
Does your girlfriend care?
She doesn't care too much. I mean, I just...
That sounds like a dude who's going right to the doghouse.
I just changed my profile picture for her out of it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, Francis.
Probably bad timing.
Yeah, you really? Think? When you're about
I
to go hang out with supermodels?
Like, I don't want her being in the public. Like, I hear all these stories.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she bought that one. Yeah.
When did you change
that
picture?
I'm protecting you, babe.
Right before I tweeted at Kate Upton.
Oh, yeah. So that's
there
Frank.
You go.
Frankie's getting a little edge. He was such a little puppy dog, and now he's getting.
Now he's like a silent assassin because he still has, like, the baby look, but all of a sudden he'll fucking ditch his girlfriend and tweet at Kate Upton.
He'll get screamed at, though, a lot this weekend. This is a work weekend.
When you get back, forget about it. It's over, dude.
And you should not have just said what you just said.
No.
Not on the radio.
That was so dumb.
That was a bad idea.
You just pulled a KFC. Don't ever pull a KFC. It's
doing
worse
that
the radio.
Was dumb. Saying that was worse.
We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place.
What's up, guys? It's Caleb. Help this podcast stay free to download with minimal ads by filling out a survey on www.podcast1/mysurvey. Responses will help align the appropriate advertisers to this audience so you guys can get cool deals on stuff that's relevant to you. The survey's short. It's completely anonymous. It takes no more than 5 minutes. And there's easy ways to do it. Like I said, podcast1.com/mysurvey, or also you can go to www.podcast1.com and click on the survey banner. If you filled out a survey in the past, thanks. We still need you to do it again. You do us all here at the Dave Portnoy Show and Podcast One a huge favor by filling it out. Thank you for supporting.